I'm Nick.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Brian, and we're the hosts of the Epic Film Guys podcast.
With the live stream for The Cure coming May 17th, we want to know,
what's your story?
The live stream for The Cure is a charity event to raise money for the Cancer Research Institute for a future free of all forms of cancer.
It's also a celebration of those we've loved, those we've lost, and those who continue to fight.
This event is so much bigger than just our little show. It's about all of us and how we've been affected by cancer. Throughout the 40-hour live stream for The Cure, we'll be sharing your photos and stories so we can honor who we're fighting for.
Please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com/whatsyourstory and learn how you can share your story with us.
Together, we can make a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for dick pics. Ladies and gentlemen, now joining us on the live stream for The Cure. You heard Dan yesterday, but we are now joined by Dan and his co-host. Shut up, Dan. His co-host, Caleb, from the Netflix and Swill podcast. And gentlemen, we're going to do some dick pics, are we not?
Sure.
Wait,
but first, Nick, I got to know. What is your swill?
Can we please get some alcohol into my mouth?
Kappa Claws.
He hates these cans. Stay away from the cans.
This is a new emote that I found that I now love.
Which one is it?
Kappa Claws. It's the Kappa with a Santa hat. No E.
Jesus.
This isn't the Santa Claus.
Why do I always do that? Fuck you, Tim, whatever your name is.
Tim Allen.
I was going to say Tom Hanks, but I was like, no, that's wrong.
That's Toy Story.
Well, they were in Toy Story together.
And, they were in Toy Story 2.
And they were in Toy Story 3.
And they were in Spaceballs 3, The Search for Spaceballs 2.
The Search for More Money. This Christmas, your family will love the Kappa Claws.
Thank you very much, JHool84, for following us.
Trying to get more followers for you. Get you that affiliate status.
Can we please get some alcohol into my mouth?
He hates these cans! Yeah. Stay away from the cans!
So damn. I gotta know what you've got guzzling into your gullet hole.
Well, this is the second of three beers. This is the Petal and Brine. It is a hibiscus saison ale. It is 7.4 alcohol by volume, 23 IBUs, and
yes,
it's fine.
It's
okay.
Fine. Caleb, are you drinking anything, buddy?
Yeah.
This is Caleb. Come on. What kind of question is that?
No, I'm being haunted by the ghosts of Swill Past. I have a Small Town Brewing's Not Your Father's Mountain Ale.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's a 5% alcohol by volume Mountain Dew.
I, too, wish I would be able to drink wine coolers and not a girl.
Oh my God.
Things give me a fucking headache, man.
Gentlemen, every week on the show, or not every week, but most of the time, you guys have chosen to do this more often in lieu of doing the one-star reviews all the time. But you guys often do a segment on your show that's called Dick Picks.
So we're just done with phrasing, right?
Jesus, look at that black car.
And now, why don't you tell our audience, tell everybody that's out there watching the live stream for The Cure right now, tell us what Dick Picks is all about.
Basically, Dick Picks is a segment where we search for a random dictionary word, we run it through the Netflix search algorithm, and we watch something that comes up in the search results. And it's usually something that we hate.
Yeah, we stopped doing the one-star review so much because we were like, let's save our sanity and stop watching bad movies. And then it was like, oh, Dick Picks. Here's even more bad movies. Take them.
Yeah. Turns out all the movies on Netflix are bad.
Shock.
Unless it's the Tinkerbell movies. Those Tinkerbell movies sounded like they were...
Die.
Solid gold.
Die.
And of course, you gentlemen will also be joining us tomorrow for a one-star movie review of Fred the Movie.
This is Caleb's fault. It's all his
Which I watched. You know what I was more surprised to learn? That there are two Fred the Movie sequels, apparently, also on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
According to the sauce, he was telling me that the kid that plays Fred or whatever was at one point like the most popular YouTuber in the world.
Yes. That's why he has the movies.
Yeah. And he squandered it.
Did he really?
Because he used the movies as a platform to yell about Asian people.
I'd seen the film because my kid wanted to watch it like 3 years ago or something, but I don't remember it. So I have to rewatch it again before.
I love that you call it film. And I'm just like, I will insult him like an hour and a half long YouTube video.
Fair enough. Yeah, it is probably shot on digital too. So
it is a merciful 83 minutes.
That is very true. If anything, you could say it is short, but that will save for tomorrow. So why don't we start? We'll start with one of you gents on Netflix and Swill to kick this off and kind of show us how it's done here on the live stream for The Cure. What was your word and what was your movie?
I want to wait because I fucking hated mine so much that I'm going to rant about it for 5 minutes.
All right, I'll go. My movie, or my word rather, was Enter. And the movie that I watched is called Enter the Warrior's Gate. God. This movie's so fucking campy. How do I describe this? So the beginning, it shows like a princess tied to a stake and there's like demons and shit around her. And like this knight comes in and starts like fighting all these guys, and so it's like this big martial arts set piece to open up the movie, and then just randomly in the middle of it, like health bars appear above their heads, and then like damage numbers start appearing as like the knight's hitting them.
God damn it.
And then it's like, oh, okay, so this is a video game. And then like, so the battle ends and it shows this kid sitting at the computer. And he's like, yes, the Black Knight wins again. And then from there,
just a flesh wound.
From there, it does basically a jump cut to this kid at like a BMX like dirt track. And he's like riding up over little ramps and then just like flopping down over the edge, like not doing jumps, just like he pedals up it and then just like crests it and rides it down. And then like the fucking Cobra Kai bully team shows up on their bikes and they're like doing sick jumps and shit. And they're like, hey, why didn't we tell you to stay the fuck out of here, you piece of shit kid? And like start to chase him. And so the kid's like pedaling through town and I don't know. It looks like San Francisco or something. Like there's a lot of hills, a lot of like traffic and stuff. So like they're doing this BMX chase scene with like cars whizzing by and all this shit. So in like during this, like ostensibly the bullies are trying to catch the kid who's fleeing the bullies, but the bullies are like riding up onto cars and doing backflips and shit on their bikes.
Look at our stunt work.
And it just makes no sense. So the kid escapes. And he goes into this little shop and it's like basically like an antiquities store. It's owned by this Chinese man who like the kid apparently works at this store. So he just fled to his workplace because the bullies would never know to look for him there. And the guy is like, hey, I just got this shipment in. Help me open it up. And it's this antique like chest. It's like ornately carved, and he's like, oh, this has been in my family for centuries, you know, it's a family heirloom. And the kid's just like, oh, what are you gonna do with it? And the guy's like, hey, I have an idea, why don't you have it? And the kid's just like, are you sure? You just said it's been in your family for centuries. And the guy's like, yeah, it's a gift, take it. And I'm just like, what is happening?
I love the movie at least knows that it's like, oh, family heirloom. Let me give this random fucking stranger. Are you sure? This sounds so fucking stupid.
Yeah, that's the other thing I wondered throughout this is like, who's this movie for? Like, it feels like it's for teenagers, but I don't know. So he takes this chest home. He has it in his room and he's sleeping, and just for no apparent reason, this ancient Chinese warrior appears in his room saying that he's looking for the Black Knight and is like holding him at sword point when a man with the most luxurious head of hair you've ever seen comes and snaps his neck. But no, this guy is like, where's the Black Knight? I'm looking for him. Ooh, I'm the killer and I'm running. And the kid's like, I'm the Black Knight. And this guy's like, what? You're just a kid. You're a piece of shit. And he's like, no, it's a video game. And like shows him the video game of him being the Black Knight. And he's like, I'm looking for a great warrior, but you're worthless to me. But I suppose I'll have you guard the princess anyway. So like this fucking princess pops out of the chest too. And this warrior's like, guard her. I'll be back, I guess.
I'll be back.
So the kid, of course, because it's like a cute princess, he fucking takes her to the mall and like teaches her how to pop and lock and like, you know, shit that you do when an ancient Chinese princess shows up in your house in the middle of the night. But then bad stuff happens because here comes the barbarians, and they're gonna get the princess.
Barbarians.
So these barbarians like grab the princess and run back into the chest. So the kid follows them into the chest, and then he ends up in the ancient and mystical world of China. are you following me so far?
Yeah, this is pretty straightforward.
Jesus, yeah. God.
So.
This sounds even less coherent than the cartoon public service announcement for anti-drugs.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's not even like content really for me to discuss like subjectively. It's just a bunch of plot points just loosely tied together. So he pretty much immediately bumps back into that warrior who told him to guard the princess. And the warrior's like, what the fuck? You didn't guard the princess. And the kid's like, what the fuck? What were you doing? And then there's a wizard who looks like his boss for some reason. But the wizard can't go with them on their journey. So like, there's this long convoluted, basically hiking to the bad guy's palace where the princess is to save her. And like the warrior's trying to teach the kid to not be such a dipshit. And to be able to fight, which like the kid immediately becomes strong enough to take on dozens of barbarians at the same time. So they get to the castle and then they fight the bad guys. And then the wizard shows back up and then they win. And the kid gets back to Earth just in time for you to remember that he had bullies in the beginning of the movie and he fights them.
And a big, big shout out to our very own Bill Sutton, the Billdozer, dropping a $100 dono over in the stream. $24.91. We're at 49.84%. Somebody please drop $8.17 on us.
And yeah, where's Bill? Bill, round this up, asshole.
Let's even that right off at a nice even $2,500 and get us halfway. Thank you very, very, very much, Bill. Caleb, your movie sounds terrible.
Like I said, it's campy as fuck, but like, it's not the biggest piece of shit. Like,
wait,
it's endearing.
When was this made? Like
a shitty, awkward way. I have no idea. It looks recent.
Cause it screams just 80s cheese.
No, much more recent than that. I want to say this was probably in the last decade.
But like, what I mean is like, this sounds like if we had the technology we had in the 80s, this would be an 80s movie for sure.
Well, yeah, like I feel like they were trying to riff off of like Karate Kid a little bit, and
next favorite movie of all time,
Ninja Turtles 3 a little bit. But they were like, hey, you know what the kids are really into these days? World of Warcraft and BMX.
Fucking BMX.
Oh, good God. Oh. What would you rate your movie, Caleb?
It's 2-ish.
Two out of five, that is.
Yeah. Yeah, a solid 2 out of 5.
Jesus, God. Well, Justin, I feel like...
Because, like, the fight scenes weren't awful. Like, it had surprisingly few cuts during the action shots. So,
That's cool.
Nice. Well, Justin, I gotta kick it over to you now. What was your word?
And okay, what did you watch? So I'm gonna be totally honest with you guys. Let's hear it, Dan. What did I do?
Hmm?
What did I do? What did I not do?
What?
I didn't watch anything.
Oh, I don't give a shit.
What the hell is your problem?
Don't jump off a bridge. I don't care. I watched something. I did watch something on Netflix, but it was at random. I do apologize. So
why don't you go pound a cactus up the tip of your dick?
Would that even?
Here we go.
Is there one small enough?
Oh God, Emily.
Basically, what just happened is Bill and Emily people. And someone else all made $8.17 donations at the same time. Oh, my brother made $3.16. So
it was the best day of my life.
So we are now at over 50%. Ladies and gentlemen, over 50% of the way toward our goal of $5,000 for cancer research. Thank you guys all very, very much. You guys are amazing.
Spam Justin, those so exclamation bills. Right? Spam those exclamation bills in the chat. Sorry.
Yeah, I did watch something, yes.
What did you watch?
You ever heard of the movie Cocktail?
Why did you emphasize the cock?
Like Tom Cruise in Cuisine.
That's because the lisp is coming back.
Exactly. I figured that if I was to watch something, it'd have to have the word cock in the title because the word gets
dick last night.
Yeah, mentioned so often on the show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, this is something that you've kind of initiated from the beginning. Like, if I recall, you were the first person on the show to ever say the word dick, cock, penis, any one of the three. But yeah, Caleb, you seem familiar with the film. You've seen it before, right?
Cocktail?
Yeah.
No, I'm familiar with the concept.
I haven't seen that movie in eternity.
Yeah, so I personally think it's one of Tom Cruise's best roles in the 80s. It's coined as a romantic comedy, which I don't really find it all that funny at all. Basically, he comes back home from college and he starts bartending, and he's trying to get it's like at the time in New York City when being on Wall Street was like the place to be. Everyone wanted to be on Wall Street as a stockbroker or doing something involved with the stock market. And he's just not cutting it. So he starts bartending. He ends up meeting this guy named Doug, who is like his mentor, who he thinks is the greatest guy ever in the entire world. And they become really good friends. They live together. And then Tom Cruise ends up banging this Rolling Stone reporter. And then the other dude like steals the check away from him. He gets pissed, cries like a bitch, and decides, I'm going to go fly to Jamaica and then I'm going to go be a bartender there. So then he goes down there and he's a bartender, and he ends up making a lot of money. And for some reason, that dude just follows him down there and then fucks his shit up again. He meets another chick, and yeah. So it's basically the whole movie is Tom Cruise is a bartender around a bunch of hot chicks. And Elizabeth Shue's in it, which is weird because we were just talking about Elizabeth Shue on the last segment. So, yeah, it's fun. I like it. I like how purely 80s it is, of course, because that's my favorite thing in the world.
You like
and,
80s?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
But you again, also own a 4K TV?
It doesn't look that good.
Justin also doesn't read comic books and isn't a gamer.
That's not true, Dan. I told you that I got the Friday the 13th game for Xbox, and I do
play. You
play
one game that does not make you a gamer.
No. I know I'm not a gamer.
Oh, man.
That's what I said.
What
you're not a gamer.
What do you call someone though that was a gamer like until game? They were 20? Did I like it?
Yeah.
I think it's awesome, actually.
So, somebody who
you probably like playing as Jason much. The most, don't you?
Yeah, that's the part that I was hoping for the most when I got the game. Yeah, so I enjoy it. I mean, it's dude, the hard part for me is because I haven't played games a lot since I was younger. So when I sat down to play it and you could hear all these kids talking, like, and they're like fucking 13-year-old kids playing along with you, I wasn't used to that.
That sounds like Xbox, all right.
Yeah, so, but whatever.
Fuck your mom. Fuck you, Jason Voorhees. I'm going to fuck your mom.
Dude,
more
seriously,
people fuck my mom online than I've ever seen in my entire
life. Before Xbox Live existed, I never knew how many people my mom fucked, especially little kids.
Thank you for telling the joke properly, Caleb.
Oh, my God.
I done goofed on the joke. Thank you for fixing it.
I haven't seen Cocktail in ages. I really got to rewatch that movie. I remember it being good, though. I remember it being, like, at least enjoyable.
Yeah. There's murder. There are people having sex. There's Tom Cruise when he looked his best. I mean, he still looks great now. I'd still bang him, but I mean,
he's like it's because he
bathes in the blood of virgins, dude. It's because of Scientology money.
Well, dude, this was actually a big hit too. I didn't even realize until I was looking information up on it that it was like made for $20 million and actually grossed 171. So that just shows the star power that he had in the '80s. And literally, it's not like the movie's all that flashy or anything. It's just like I said, but it's an interesting concept that I think they hadn't played with. At that point in time in film was, you know, bartending and cocktails and in these upscale clubs and shit in New York City. It was a big thing, nightlife in the city. People went out of their way to go to these super over-the-top clubs and super lavish.
How much cocaine was done in the movie?
I don't recall there being a lot being done in it, but there is some cocaine use, yeah.
How much
but
do you think was done on the set?
Oh, on the set?
All of it?
Lots and lots and lots.
Here we go.
I won! Thank you very much, Caleb, for your $103.67 donation. Bringing us up to 52%. 52.5% of the way toward our goal. Thank you very, very much, man. Really, really appreciate it. We're definitely chugging right along, baby.
Fuck cancer!
Hashtag fuck cancer. Why don't we go ahead? I'm feeling it. We got to happen. Let's get a hashtag fuck cancer going over in the chat. Hashtag fuck cancer for your chance to win a live stream for the Cure mug.
I'm going to throw in some Netflix 12 stickers.
Hooray. You get a. Dan, you put in the hashtag yourself. Are you going to send yourself the stickers if you win?
Yeah, and actually, I'm going to turn on my video and then show myself stickers to myself.
Delivering the stickers to yourself. So, hashtag fuck cancer. Caleb puts in for it, too.
That way, that's so I have to go see Caleb.
Well, get him over in there, guys. Hashtag fuck cancer for your chance to win.
Fuck swords.
Also fuck swords. But I think I have to talk about my movie next.
Yes.
I really do.
The rage that will emanate off of me when I'm talking about my movie is...
Everybody's going to want to sit back from their headphones, just put them across the table.
Yeah, I'm going to push the mic back for that segment.
Oh, my God. What the hell? Justin Esquivel, fuck cancer.
He wants those Netflix and Swill stickers.
Dude, I would.
They're so coveted.
I don't have any. I'd love to have one. Right.
Well, there we go. Last chance, everybody. We're going to draw for that in just a moment over in the stream. Hashtag fuck cancer over there. Your shot at winning a live stream for the Cure mug and some Netflix and Swill stickers.
Royale, just a reminder, she hates these cans. Stay away
Royale
from the
with
cans.
Cheese. Welcome to the live stream for the Cure chat.
That's I'll give it to them. They forgot the E in cancer, but that's okay. Oh, shouldn't it be fuck canker, actually? That's a before I wake joke canker. Right there.
Yeah, that's some on-brand Netflix humor.
I'm going to tell you guys, before I do the drawing, we're going to give everybody a couple more moments over there in the chat to get it in there.
Don't die.
I'm going to tell you guys about my movie, which was called Checkpoint. Now, Justin, this movie stars a plethora of Justin's favorite people because it stars a whole bunch
horror
movies.
It's called Checkpoint?
Checkpoint.
Okay. So after you watch this movie, if you die, you get to come back to watching this movie.
Oh, well. So Justin, right there. This is a veritable who's who of Justin's favorite actors in horror movie franchises. Kane Hodder is in this. And
Bill Goldberg, right? Bill Goldberg.
Yep. It has Bill Goldberg in it. It has Fred Williamson in it. And it has Kenny Johnson in it, who I love from The Shield. And when I first saw that he was in it, I was like, no movie, you can't make me hate Kenny Johnson. It didn't, but it tried really hard to. So the movie opens with a scene that I found out takes place later in the movie. For some reason, they just
cut out
this scene from later in the movie and shoved it back into the movie at the beginning. It doesn't make any goddamn sense. It's shot on a submarine or like in a battleship, like in a sleeping quarters in a battleship or something like that.
Just like the movie Battleship.
Just like the movie.
I actually Battleship. Went to see that in theaters. Please kill me.
Fuck off.
God damn.
I'm sorry, Dan.
So basically, man. It's so claustrophobic, and I feel like a better action choreographer and a better cinematographer probably could have found an interesting way to shoot in that confined space. This was basically like they just stuck a couple of GoPros like in the corner.
And that's my favorite shooting technique.
One of the best things about this movie, legitimately for the first half of the movie, because he was Kenny Johnson's character Roy was a Marine. Okay, so. He apparently becomes a vagrant because his family dies in off-screenville. But the film never really sets this up as a plot point, except for like in a really quick flashback, like a third of the way through the movie, and quickly like gets rid of it. It's like there was a whole bunch of other backstory that happened before I watched this movie. Like, I feel like I almost tuned in like a half an hour into it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Every single time he's on screen, you guys familiar with the song Simple Man?
By Leonard Skinner?
Yeah, Skinner.
Or is it by Shinedown?
No, it was the Skinner. It was the Skinner version.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So every single time he was on screen, it's like when he's on screen, it would be blaring the whole time. And then when he would go off screen, they'd hit pause. And then he would come back and they'd hit play again. And it would just keep going from the same part where they left off. Until they got like all the way through the song, like halfway through the movie. And the sound mix in this movie is god awful. The music in the film, Dan, I told you about this when I was watching it. Dan always likes to say he doesn't notice music in movies. Shut up, Dan. You would notice the music in this movie because it drowns out the dialogue. What, Caleb?
Jesus.
Multimedia.
Yeah, right? But the music drowns out the dialogue in the film. There are scenes where characters are talking, but the background music in the scene is playing so loud, you can't hear what they're saying. You can't even tell what they're saying.
What?
Goldberg.
Yeah, how is that Goldberg fella? How is that Goldberg? Does he say Goldberg, you're next in it?
No, he does not. And you know what? The sad thing is of course he's got fight sequences with people. And he makes it somehow manage to look worse and more fake than wrestling. I don't know how that is. He doesn't spear anybody. He doesn't give anybody the jackknife.
See, here's the thing. Anytime there's a wrestler in a movie and they pull off one of their signatures, it automatically makes the movie a 10. Like, exactly. The Rock, like, in, I think it was Fast 6, The Rock was fighting Jason Statham, and he fucking rock-bottomed Jason Statham through a fucking glass table.
Yeah,
so I was just like, 10. 10.
So not only that, but the ADR for Goldberg is terrible because it's clear he's not an actor who's used to doing ADR and redubbing his lines. Well, it's clear he's not an actor anyway, but like his dialogue, like half of his dialogue in the movie isn't synced up with his mouth movements because he's just terrible at ADR. And whoever the ADR person was that was in charge of actually synchronizing it with the acting, like the video, was also terrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. I some notes I wrote from this movie when I was writing it down. Why is this restaurant owned by the blackest stereotype who is married to the most Asian stereotype? stop playing Simple Man. It's on every time he's on screen, I swear to God. The sound mix in this is horrible.
Okay. Who directed this, Nick?
I have no idea. Wait, I had it up on IMDb. Where is it?
This was directed by
Thomas J. Churchill. Now, the funny thing about this movie is this apparently at the end. So at the end of the movie, we'll fast forward. There's a quote from Ronald Reagan. And then there's like a whole like a flag, like an American flag waving. And like this is supposed to be like a pro-America, pro-military movie.
Holy shit.
But it never sells that the entire movie. Ever.
All right. So I just looked up this Thomas J. Churchill on IMDb. He had four movies come out in 2017. Four.
He's mostly a
producer. So suck it, Spielberg, in 1993. You're a fucking garbage can compared to Thomas fucking Churchill and his work ethic.
Dude, I want to see Marilyn Zombie Hunter. That's what I want to see. Birth of the Zombie as well.
Nick, I just want to say, if I seem distracted, I'm sorry. Because now, because of Dan, I'm watching a compilation on YouTube of The Rock performing The Rock Bottom between the years 2000 and 2001.
I love you so much. So other things that this movie does, there are two very well endowed female characters that are both blonde. One's a good guy and one's a bad guy. So you know
girl,
they have a fight.
Girl, they're girls. Use the proper pronouns, goddammit.
You know they have a fight. You know they have a fight. And
Did
Justin,
they get naked?
No. Justin,
damn it.
In Death Wish 3, a movie that I love and a movie that I know you love, the final third of Death Wish 3 is just this massive, amazing battle. But remember in Death Wish 3, like, the tone of Death Wish 3 is kind of tongue-in-cheek. So, like, the over-the-topness of the whole final, this massive action sequence works. You know?
Right. Yeah.
In this movie, they sort of do the same thing, except for this movie takes itself way too seriously, so everything looks really bad. Like, imagine Death Wish 3, but it took itself way too seriously.
That would be absolutely horrific. I wouldn't even be able to deal with it.
Terrible. It was terrible. At one point, a soldier shoots a flag with a rocket launcher, and then, I'm not even kidding, they shoot the flagpole. They shoot the top of the flagpole with a rocket launcher. An explosion happens at the base of the flagpole, and the flagpole falls over. And then, because this is suddenly decides to be like a pro-America movie at the last 5 minutes, Goldberg and the big-titted blonde chick...
Which I'm looking at pictures of right now.
They go over, they pick up the flagpole, and put it back up at the end of the movie.
Is it like Iwo Jima? Is it like the fucking Iwo Jima
statue? That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I said. I'm like, oh my god, Goldberg. Like, because first the girl is like struggling with it to get it back up, and then Goldberg just goes over and is like, me, Goldberg.
Me, Goldberg.
Goldberg smash.
Nick, is that blonde chick in like that sports bra in the entire movie?
Yes.
Wow.
Sure, her shirt is about five sizes too small, which is absurd. Like, legitimately, the entire movie, it's like, there's got to be an accident here.
I see no problem with that.
I was going to say, I might watch it just for that reason.
How much of the movie is she in, Nick?
It's just like, it's, like I said, this could have been a really fun, like, B-movie, like, cheesy movie. Like, obviously, that's what it's aiming for. It's aiming for B-movie status here, but it takes itself way too seriously. It really feels like it is important, and it's not. So, this is 1.5. I'm going to give it a half a star just because I love Kenny Johnson, and the movie didn't make me hate him because I still think he's good enough with the material that he's given. I love him from The Shield. I would have to try really hard to hate a movie he's in. So
he's fantastic in Bates Motel. I absolutely adore him.
Yeah, I saw him in that. My wife, my wife watched through that whole series, so I saw him in that as well. I love Kenny Johnson. So why don't we go ahead before we get to Dan, because everybody's just going to need to stand back and brace themselves for anger here.
Yeah, turn down that volume.
Why don't we ahead and give away that Live Stream for the Cure mug and some Netflix and Swill stickers. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner Steve, raking in the prizes today from everything I learned from the movie. Steve, congratulations. You are the winner. There'll be a live stream for the Cure mug and some Netflix and Swill stickers.
I'll send those out on Monday.
So thank you very, very much, Steve, for... where is my prize thingy? God damn it. I have so many things open on this computer. It's ridiculous. Oh, I closed my prizes thing for some reason. I don't know why. There we go. All right. Everybody, step back, brace yourselves, and get ready. Dan Brennick, it's time for your dick pic.
Jesus All right. Christ. The Tasmanian devil just joined the stream.
Okay. So my word was presidential. And that brought me to the film movie thing, Rampage, President Down. Now,
starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson and a bunch of monsters.
I wish. I actually liked the first. I actually liked that Rampage. It was just stupid, fucking dumb fun. This, however, is, and I learned this 10 seconds in, a Uwe Boll movie, which if anyone knows anything about Uwe Boll, you know that I immediately... So his name pops up, and I just went, oh my fucking God, it's Uwe Boll.
Is he listening to this right now? Is he going to threaten to fight Dan?
I'll fucking kill the shit out of fucking Uwe Boll, that fucking hack piece of shit.
So you like him.
So, like, I hate Uwe Boll like fucking Wayne hates Steven Seagal. We'll just go with that.
Bitch, please.
So this is the third movie in the Rampage franchise that Uwe Boll crafted. This movie struggled to get funding, and in fact, it contains many references to the fact that bigger budget movies...
I don't know how he got in here.
Joker.
I hate you. But Uwe Boll, it contains many references to the fact that bigger budget movies that Uwe Boll considers worse than Rampage and not as important as Rampage get funded, but his can't. I can tell you why it didn't get funded, because it's fucking garbage. Basically, the whole premise of the franchise is there's this dude who's like, I hate the way America is. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go on unchecked rampages and I'm going to spout nonsense. About why America sucks. Uwe Boll is a gorilla, Clint.
What's up, my Nubian friend?
So, I hate you.
What's a Nubian? Shut the fuck up.
Yes, Nubian, we got lots of that.
Our mass murderer main character is anti-gun, anti-1%, because, you know, that's the hot button issue of our times in 2016. So he decides in this movie that he's going to assassinate the president, the vice president, and the secretary of defense. All of these happen off screen, and you're told about them through a news broadcast, because that's tremendous filmmaking right there. Fuck, dude, it, like, they try to make this dude a sympathetic character, but he's a fucking mass murderer, and he does, I don't care about, I just want him to fucking get murdered by anybody at all. I don't care who, it could be a fucking 4-year-old girl walks up with a fucking Uzi and just sprays his ass dead. I don't care. I fucking hate this guy. Like, any message he has, which is, like, staunchly anti-gun, anti-1%, you could agree with that, but the fact that this dude is a mass murderer, you have to immediately disqualify anything he says because he portrays himself as a fucking psychopath. This does the famed no tripod cinematography style, which is no one owns a tripod, so everyone's like half drunk and they're fucking trying to, you know, hold the camera still, but they're fucking jiggling around like they're on the goddamn roller coaster. It's fucking stupid. Don't do that. Please spend the $3 you can on a fucking tripod. I don't care if you can't get your movie funded because you're a fucking hack piece of shit, Uwe Boll. Buy a tripod. It's not hard. There are significant logic leaps to get taken with the movie because the FBI are investigating, you know, who murdered the president. And At one point, their power goes out and they lose all their data because, you know, that happens without data backups and backup generators. Like, no, that those never exist. Like, the FBI is just too stupid to ever have those. Fucking for the final scene when they go fucking kill mass murder man. They don't sweep the battlefield for explosives or anything. It's just they randomly walk around and get fucking murdered by explosives and fucking auto guns. It really is like about as anti-government as you can get with Uwe Boll, because he just makes the FBI seem like the dumbest fucking morons that have ever existed in human history. And that's not to mention the fact that everyone, aside from the protagonist, who actually seems like a decent enough actor and probably could get decent roles in Hollywood, everyone else is a garbage can. Like, literally, they show the emotion of a garbage can. They have the range of a garbage can. They are terrible.
Dan, like, how's Brendan Fletcher in the film?
He's fine. He's other than the fact that his rhetoric is basically the musings of a madman, he's pretty decent.
I was curious because I've seen him in some stuff before, and I do like him in Freddy vs. Jason. I thought he was pretty good in that. So
yeah, he's doing the best he can with the script and being a Uwe Boll vehicle. But yeah, he's actually probably the best part about the movie. Fuck. I hate this movie. You tried to make a guy who is a mass murderer into a sympathetic character. That's impossible. It is very difficult to do that. It's very rare when you get like a John Wick, a guy who will run through like 100 fucking dudes in a movie, but because someone killed his dog, like that you can empathize with. This guy had, as far as I know, no inciting incident to why his character is the way it is, other than the fact that he hates the government. He hates the 1%. He hates the way our country is run. That's it. That's the only thing I've ever gleaned from this, is that he just doesn't like how the country is. So he just goes on murder sprees to be like, oh, the country's terrible. I'm taking advantage of laws and shit. Why hasn't Congress done anything about the gun laws? Fucking garbage. Fuck. Fuck you, Uwe Boll. Just fuck you.
Dude, I love the poster that I just looked up for the movie, or the trilogy. This is a trilogy, you said,
right?
It is
a trilogy, yeah. And they actually, sorry, real quick, they do flash back to the first and second movies, which is perfect for me because I never want to watch the first and second movies if this is the fucking bullshit that Uwe Boll is going to put on screen.
It is.
So sorry, go ahead, Justin.
Oh no, I was gonna say I love the poster that I just saw, that where it has SWAT dude right front and center, and behind it just says fuck the system in large text behind him over and over and over again. One of the interesting things I heard about this whole series that he's done was that Boll was coming out and shitting all over the Rampage movie that we were talking about earlier with all the monsters and shit based on the video game. He was shitting all over that because they're saying that they shouldn't be allowed to use the name because of his films.
No.
Can Uwe Boll offer to fight The Rock? Can that happen? Can that be a thing?
I want to see The Rock kick the shit out of Uwe Boll. I'd pay so much money for that. I'd actually empty my entire bank account.
Give him a rock bottom.
Yeah.
Just in case no one's aware, like in the chat or anything like that, he is the guy, like he legitimately tried to fist fight a critic who gave one of his movies a bad review before.
Dude. The quote he had on the new Rampage movie, I just found it and I wanted to read it. Fuck this new fake Rampage movie. Going to sue Warner Brothers, asshole. Totally serious. We'll update soon.
Fist yourself! he doesn't know the video game existed before he even thought of Rampage franchise bullshit.
He doesn't know anything.
He's going to represent himself in court, probably. And try to fight the judge.
You didn't side with me. I'm going to kick the shit out of you. Well, you just the fucking dude. Good luck in prison.
Doesn't he box, though? Oh, my God. Holy shit. He does. He boxes.
Yeah, that's why he tried to fight that one critic that gave his movie a bad review.
Yeah.
So here is my final thought. And I actually wrote it down because I just need to summarize everything into a code. When your protagonist is violently anti-government and your movie goes out of its way to deify him, that says more about you as a person than it does about you as a filmmaker. Uwe Boll uses this franchise to fulfill a sick mass murder fantasy and tries to tack on a message about the evil 1% in order to justify itself. Instead, the violence deafens the message and causes you to wonder about Boll's mental health. This franchise should be avoided at all costs. 1 star.
Boy, fuck you, Uwe Boll, you fucking dumb, stupid idiot.
I fucking hate Uwe Boll so much. Like, I watched the Far Cry movie, and I was just like, boy, this fucking is garbo.
How did he get his hands on that franchise? How did he get his name on that title?
Ubisoft or run by morons. That's how.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I got something for your ass.
Don't someone mess with time. Y'all fuck with time.
Motherfucker.
I will fuck with time.
Oh, gentlemen. Dick Picks, which is for dictionary picks.
Yeah.
Just in case anyone thought it was being smutty.
Big shout out to my fiance Vanessa for giving us the name for that segment.
Yeah, it wasn't us. It was a girl. A girl did it.
Super, super. It's really clever. I really love it. It's one of my favorite segments that you guys do on your show. We've still got a little bit of time left here, so I'm actually going to go ahead. We're going to give away some more Epic Film Guys stickers. So can we get
More Netflix and Swill stickers.
And more Netflix and Swill stickers.
Hashtag fuck Uwe Boll.
That's what I was going to say. Hashtag fuck Uwe Boll over in the chat.
I'm not actually entering myself. I just want.
Dave just wants to say fuck Uwe Boll one more time. That's fuck Uwe Boll.
What a fucking hack.
Type it over there in the chat. Get some stickers.
Give me Uwe Boll's budget and I'll make a movie that I actually make.
And I could probably agree with that. I would actually love to see it, Dan. I'm 100% positive you'd be able to make a better movie than him.
I actually have a good movie idea that I might.
Dan going to Uwe Boll's house and just beating his ass and killing him.
No. So basically, the basic premise is there's a house party amongst like young 20 somethings. And a murder happens at the house party. So it's up to detectives to use testimony and social media in order to find out who murdered the person. That's my idea. I haven't scripted it, but that's my idea.
That's totally realistic because, I mean, watching all of the 48 Hours documentaries I watched and the true crime shit that I like to dig into, they actually use social media a lot in solving cases today. So that's actually super realistic.
Thank you very much, David, the producer. He and his wife, Juliet, are in Las Vegas as we speak. Thank you guys very much. I really, really appreciate the support.
David, bet it all on black.
I call it lost wages.
Just a couple of moments left, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead. Get it over there in the chat. Hashtag fuck Uwe Boll. And as if everybody doesn't know, first of all, Dan, once again, thank you very much for all the work you've done being EP for the weekend. Helping.
I don't need
out.
My dick sucked. I have Ashley for the
Dan.
She's going to hate me. Out. Don't you cut that out. Dick. Never let her fucking do that.
And I'm messaging her.
Timestamp.
No.
And send.
Timestamp.
No.
Oh, my God.
Bill, don't
try not
that.
To suck any dick on the way through the parking lot.
Yeah, Bill, are you clipping that?
Yeah, Bill's definitely going to clip that.
And David, the producer, says black it is.
Also bet on 25. If you're playing roulette, 25.
And always hit on a soft 16.
So tell the live stream for the Cure audience about Netflix and Swill. Tell them what your show is all about.
It's fine.
We're a current Netflix movie and TV review podcast. Basically, any show, movie that comes out on Netflix, we're mostly going to cover them. We do have some notable exceptions, such as 13 Reasons Why, We Don't Care, and Orange is the New Black, we've never talked about. But for the most part, we're a current Netflix review podcast. And if you need to know anything about Netflix and its news, reviews, and you want some booze on the side, we got it for you.
Ashley in the chat with the hearts.
Porn with a soft 16. We mostly just review Netflix. Mostly.
Every once in a while, there's DVDs and swill. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and we're going to draw right now the winner of some EFG and some Netflix and swill stickers. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill clipped it. No, we're rolling again. Dan, you can't win.
Oh, no, I don't want to win.
Oh, that's right. You didn't want to be entered in this anymore. That's right. Ah. No, I don't want to remove anything. Ah, what is happening? Drew Hallam from the Real Feels Podcast. Drew, congratulations, the winner of some epic film guys and some Netflix and swill stickers. Congratulations, Drew. Someone wants to enter the room. Who wants to enter the room? Who's here?
Probably Emily.
It is Emily. It is Emily. We're going to let her in.
Yay.
Oh, boy. Now I'm all confused about what's going on.
Don't feel bad. I'm always confused about what's going on.
Well, Ashley found out, everybody. It's been nice knowing all of you. I'm probably going to get in about 8 hours.
Your death was well deserved.
I agree. I've only been asking for it for years.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Oh.
I don't have a Dan command yet. I should do a countdown for, like, Dan's impending death for exclamation Dan. It'd be like, it'd be a countdown from 8 hours.
I'm going to go ahead and switch our scene over here. Boom.
Oh, there's Emily. Emily, unmute yourself, goddammit. I want to hear you.
Oh, I'm the worst. Sorry, there were other people in there and I got scared.
Don't be scared. It's just little old me.
It's the worst.
Now we're getting her doubled here. Hang on. Let me take care of that. There we go. Emily, say something.
Something.
Yay.
So let me see if I could do this too. Do you just want the one screen for me, or do you want me to also pop in? I could do either.
I mean, we want to see your pretty face while we're doing trivia with you.
Mm-hmm.
See?
All right, I'll see if I can do it in incognito browser.
Ago? Yeah, that's what I usually
Quiet,
do.
Quiet, Edith. I'm trying to be incognitus.
You'll just have to go in the incognito window and just, like, mute your microphone and mute everybody's speakers is all.
Okay. All right, so...
Nick, I'm going to be gone for, like, an hour. I got to take further away. So, Prepare for a giant ban hammer. One.
Are you gonna ban yourself?
I'm gonna ban Ashley so she doesn't know, so she can't murder me.
I mean, it's too late, Dan. She's already gonna murder you.
You're dead, dude. You might as well just consider yourself dead meat.
Dead meat, you say?
Dead meat.
All right, goodbye forever. I love you.
We love you, Netflix and Swill. Thank you very much for joining us, gentlemen. You guys are amazing, and I can't wait to talk about Fred the movie with you tomorrow.
Fred the movie!
Thank you very, very much. You guys are amazing.